putting those searchlights up on the tower. Right now. Move! Move!
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb, and welcome to Community Spotlight. Community Spotlight is where I invite an organisation or a person from our community to talk about their journey, their organisation or their event. Now, today I have Benjamin Thorne. Good morning, Benjamin Thorne.
Good morning, Herb.
Well, thanks very much for coming in. Now, you're a musician that's been in Armidale since about 1998. Now, tell me, where did you come from?
I came from Sydney. I mean, I grew up in Canberra, then went to university in Sydney, stayed there for about 20 years, having spent a year in Italy in the middle of that. And then, you know, I decided I wanted to get out of Sydney, so I chose Armidale and came up here.
All for our benefit. You studied Italian music at the University of Sydney, and you also did a PhD in Italian theatre. And was that a result of actually visiting Italy?
No, Italian was actually almost accidental. I mean, when I went to university, wanted to study music and maths. Oh, and history. And all those disciplines encouraged having a foreign language. Almost at random, I chose Italian. I'd had a bad experience with German at school. My brother was studying French, so I wanted to be different. Often the trajectory of our life is, you know, based on, you know, random choices.
Well, you say trajectory, I sort of say corridor. Our life is full of corridors. If you go down a corridor, sometimes you find the corridor's not the right one, or the hallway, so you come back and find another one.
Oh, you do that as well, yes.
So did you play any instruments while you were through university?
I'd played the flute and started composing when I was still at school and playing the recorder. Then when I was at Sydney University for a while, I was playing with the Renaissance Players with Winsome Evans, and she was actually probably a big influence on my music. And I, you know, organised concerts for composers and for myself, and getting heavily into, you know, organising things. Not that I'm not even sure if I enjoy organising things.
Two things. One, you are very good at organising things, and we're going to get through there, and then we're going to talk about the Bach Festival later on. But we do have something in common. You play the flute. My most favourite rock performer is Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull. Fantastic flute player. Performance, fantastic. So we do have something in common, Benjamin.
We do.
With the flute. Yeah.
Well, and of course, you know, Ian Anderson, you know, Jethro Tull, one of the more famous pieces is the bourrée, which is the Bach bourrée, which they do a nice version, you know.
Well, I might have to get you to come in and bring your flute in one time, and we'll get some backing track from Jethro, and we'll get you to play something. That would be fantastic. Now, yes, you do a lot. Now, when you first came to Armidale, you got involved as the director of the Children's Theatres Group Stage 1. Tell me, that was in 98.
Stage 1 was a children's theatre group organised by Astrid Blake. She was a wonderful woman. I got introduced to her almost by accident, by a friend of a friend, as it were, and she was doing a production of Alice in Wonderland at the end of the year. They decided that I should actually do it, organised the music for that production, wrote some of it, used some existing music, and then I was working with Astrid on various productions for the next 5 years, or 5 or 6 years, in fact, until she died.
Yes, rest in peace, Astrid. That she was a great woman in our community. You did a few other musicals while you were there, till 2005, I understand.
We did The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, Charlotte's Web. She had a small group of older students who used to do smaller shows, which we travelled around schools. So I did the music for a number of them as well.
So that was basically engaging kids from local schools,
yeah,
in the theatre to get stage presence to,
yeah,
develop their craft.
That's right. I mean, you know, there's always been a need for that, and, you know, there've been one or two other groups since then. Currently, probably the group that's offering opportunities for children is High Country Theatre. They do one children's show a year involving the kids, and I tend to be involved in the music for that. High Country Theatre has been around for about a decade or more. I mean, it was originally started by Barbara Albury when she was here. They did a number of shows, and I did a lot of work with Barbara, mostly in music. When she left, it's continued, and done shows in all sorts of places. For instance, we did my version of Animal Farm out at Sawmerys in the barn out there, which we felt was an appropriate venue. Bearing in mind, I'm not sure that doing it towards in winter was the most, or late autumn, I can't remember. It was fairly cold at times, but it was an appropriate venue. They also did a couple of shows in Hannah's Arcade, which was an interesting venue to work with.
That was on the staircase up front of the stained glass window, if I remember.
It varies where we do it. Sometimes we ran a show down the middle with audience on both sides. Sometimes using the staircase and up the top. I've used Hannah's Arcade in the Bark Festival, consistently, because we've traditionally done either the coffee cantata or the peasant cantata there as a freebie in the Bark Festival. So I'm sort of used to using Hannah's Arcade. It's a tricky venue. But
so just talking about Black Children again, we do have another thing that's going on at the moment. I think it's on the 27th, is the Sydney Youth Orchestra is visiting Armidale. So it's another little thing for Armidale, bringing children and orchestral music to Armidale. So it's a fantastic thing.
Yeah, and that, in fact, Armidale is, has its own youth orchestra, and, it's one of the few regional towns which actually has, a fully blown youth orchestra. And, from that point of view, Armidale's great.
The other thing you got involved in when you first came here was the Orpheus Music Publishing. So this is notation for recorder music.
Yeah, Orpheus Music was set up by Zana Clark, who's, passionate about the recorder and wanted to get into actually publishing and, being able to distribute music of mostly Australian composers. I've been the music editor there from the word go.
That's still going?
That's still going. I mean, we've got, something like about 300 different pieces on our catalogue.
Well, nice. So the Armidale Playhouse was something that you've been involved in as a director of shows?
Yeah, and I got into that via Astrid, because Astrid decided that I should definitely, get involved in the Playhouse as well. So I was quite happy to that, so I joined it quite a while. I was the secretary, but I was also, directing a number of shows. First one was Pirandello's Henry IV, having written my undergraduate thesis on Pirandello's short one-act plays, so this was something I wanted to do.
Now, the Playhouse, it got renovated. You were part of that process as the president, and it merged with the Armidale Drama and Musical Society. It's been renovated now.
Yep.
100 seats around about?
It's about that. The merger with ADMS, think about 2012, and at that stage, the actual building of the Playhouse was a little bit in need of tender, loving care. After the merger, nothing much happened for a couple of years. Then it was decided to try and start seeking grants to renovate it.
Well, it was a tired, rundown facility.
It was.
It was. Well, I think the important thing about the Armidale Playhouse is after the renovations, it's gone from strength to strength, both in the facility that it offers our community, but also that, and the proof of the pudding is, it has a calendar of annual events every year. So it's used. It's one of these facilities that hasn't been renovated with public money and then only used occasionally. It's used.
Oh, yes.
It's loved, and it's used by our community.
Oh, yes. We've got lots of concerts there, various shows. I mean, the Playhouse has been an extremely successful use of public money, I think, yes.
And that's what we want when we do apply for grants. We want to actually see that the public money is spent well and it's for our community.
Yeah, and has a continuing legacy is the important thing. It's you don't want it something to just for one-off events or to last for a year or two, but you want something that continually provides a service and a facility for the community, absolutely.
No, definitely. So let's just jump to the Bark Festival. It's in its 12th...
12th version.
Version, because it's biannual, so it's 20 years.
Well, in fact, 22 years since the first one. The first festival was in 2003. It was founded by Terry Norman, who was a local organist and teacher. He ran the first festival on the smell of an oily rag. Then his second one in 2004. That was then taken over by Carolyn Downer. I got a phone call and I was told by her and James Mort, who was the treasurer at the time, we have decided that you are the person who should run the Bark Festival.
And you've been running it for ever since.
Ever since. So this is, in fact, my 10th festival.
So tell me, what do you get from the Bark Festival? If you sign up, come along. It's a paid event, and we'll talk about how you actually get your tickets.
It is
what do you get?
What we aim to do in the Bark Festival is bring some of the best available Baroque performers to Armidale. These are mostly Australian, though we have had people who are based overseas involved once, very occasionally. Also have local musicians as well.
So let's do a couple of things here. So we're starting on the Thursday, the 1st of May. Trumpet and organ.
And this here we've got John Foster, a wonderful natural trumpeter, though I think he's actually playing a modern trumpet. He suddenly realised, didn't think he had enough repertoire to just do everything on natural trumpet, but he will be playing Baroque music, some other music, quite a range of music for trumpet and organ. And he's accompanied by David Drury, who is a fantastic organist. David does things with organs that I've never heard before. I mean, he can take any organ and make it sound wonderful. So there'll be a couple of solos by David in that concert as well.
That's at 7:30 at the Uniting Church.
Yeah, most of the concerts are in the Uniting Church or start in the Uniting Church. David then's doing a solo recital the next day at lunchtime at 12:30.
That's at Friday the 2nd of May. It's called Channeling Bach.
Yeah, because one of the things that David does fantastically is he is a brilliant improviser. I mean, he's one of the best organ improvisers in the world. And when I say that, he won the International Organ Improvisation Award, the Tournemire Prize. Wow. So, I mean, he really is. You know, the classical techniques. And, of course, this is something that organists have always done, and it's something that Bach was particularly noted for. So that, you know, having someone who can sort of do what Bach did is wonderful. And one of the things I've had David doing is I ask the local school students to, you know, submit themes, which, you know, David then improvises and, you know, creates something wonderful from them.
Well, that's fantastic. So this is Friday the 2nd of May.
Yeah.
Number three, we've got Marius Project Baroque and Beyond, Songs and Interludes from Around the Globe. What's that about?
This is the Marais Project. Marais was a French composer and viola da gamba player from the 17th, 18th century. Jenny Erickson, who runs it, is a great viola da gamba player, so that's why there's the focus on Marais. This is a really interesting program because they've divided it into different countries from around the world. Germany, France, England, Italy, and Australia. So we're actually going to have some contemporary music written for a Baroque ensemble. So you've got actually just a trio of performers. You've got Jenny on viola da gamba. You've got Susie Bishop playing violin and singing. Tommy Anderson, who is a fantastic lutenist, the oboe player. So that's
on Friday the 2nd at the United Church at 7:30. We go to Saturday the 3rd of May, 10:30 a.m. We talked about the Hannah's Arcade before. The Coffee Cantata.
This is the Coffee Cantata. Well, actually, it's Coffee Cantatas. Usually, I've done a dramatised version of either the Coffee Cantata or the Peasant Cantata. For various reasons, I couldn't do that. So we've got only got a couple of arias from Bach's Coffee Cantata. These are the soprano arias, which will be sung by Sarah Sadgrove.
Well, we had Sarah. I played Stabat Mater on Sunday, Easter Sunday, where Sarah sang the 1780 version of Stabat Mater with quartet.
Sarah's a lovely singer, and we're also doing a French Baroque cantata by Nicolas Bernier, which is also about coffee. So we've got two bits of coffee cantatas in Hannah's Arcade, which is, as I said, a free event. So just come along and get a taste of Baroque music and some fun Baroque music.
So you've got the two Stephens, Steve Taffer and Stephen Thornycroft. That's at 12:30 at United Church. Then we've got the Armidale Organ Crawl.
Armidale Organ Crawl is something, again, one of my ideas from an early festival. In fact, the first one was actually in a year between festivals. In Armidale, we're fantastically lucky because we've got four pretty good organs within about a block. So you've got the Uniting Church, Paul's Presbyterian, the Anglican Church, and the St. Mary's and Joseph's Catholic Cathedral. And so the organ crawl is basically like a pub crawl, except instead of having a beer in every pub, you have a short organ recital in each church.
Starting United Church, and then the pub crawl. 2:30, sorry. Well, then we've got the Baroque Plus.
Elysian Fields. And this is a different aspect of Jenny Erickson, because this is taking the Baroque music and then turning it into modern jazz fusion, basses and drums. harpas and other and guitars. Again, you know, this is a wonderful way of reinventing Baroque music with the perspective of popular music of the 20th and 21st centuries, and just seeing how they can combine. I mean, we were talking earlier about Jethro Tull. He did it. Then, of course, you had Sky. There have been various people who've tried to do this sort of thing, and I think Elysian Fields does it really well, and they're going to be well worth seeing. And the sort of music that'll appeal to everyone. That's always been very important to me when I've been creating the Bach Festival, is to not just have a narrow niche audience, but try and appeal to as many different people as possible.
So, yeah, fantastic. Then we go for Sunday 4th of May at... Oh, sorry, that last one was 7:30 Uniting Church.
Yeah.
That's on Saturday the 3rd. Now, Sunday the 4th in Bach's company, 12:30 Uniting Church.
This is a local group, Sophia Debus, Robert Manley and James Chen, and they'll be playing music of Bach and Vivaldi. What makes them an interesting group is that two of them are actually multi-instrumentalists. While you've got a trio, it's not just the same three instruments for the whole hour.
Then we go to Historical Stories, 2:30 at the Uniting Church.
And this is a really interesting project because it's combining texts about historical events, mostly newly written by local writers, including Sarah Lawrence, Steve Harris, Catherine Emerson and Katie Hazelwood, and then combining that with Baroque music. So it's a sort of a combination of words and music, so that the words give you some insight into the music and the music gives you interesting insight into the words, even though they were not actually necessarily composed originally to go there. So it's a very interesting way of combining two different aspects, and I'm really looking forward to that too.
Number 10, which is the last one, this is the Crescendo Festival Evensong, 5 p.m. St. Peter's Anglican Cathedral.
The festival has always felt that it's important at some point to present Bach's music in the context which a lot of it was written for. I mean, he had a job in Leipzig as the cantor of the Thomas Church, so a lot of his music was written for Christian worship. And being able to have that music in the context of, yes, this is a church service, but a special church service with specific music chosen by Bach.
So inquiries... 67725889 is the inquiry line.
That's my home number.
Home number, 67725889. Or you can email Benjamin Thorne with no E, THORN, at bigpond.com. Tickets can be purchased at Try Booking. Or you can go into the branches of the Regional Australia Bank.
Yep.
These little flyers. Now, Benjamin says to me that he's just about out of these. 3,000 he's printed. Nice little purple. I like that lilac purple colour. The 12th New England Baroque Festival, Armidale, 1st to 4th of May. Bach and Baroque are beyond 4 days of the best of Baroque music and more. Yeah, so you can pay for each event. So you go to trybooking.com.
The easy way is to go to Try Booking and do a search for NEBF, New England Baroque Festival, and all of them will come up.
Gotcha. So you can pay individually for there's 10 events. Or you can get your season ticket, 180 or 120 with subsidy. Event number 10's free, number defence 4's free.
And you can also buy tickets at the door. If you do buy tickets at the door, please bring cash.
Yes, there's no square reader.
At the door, we're quite happy to accept your cash, possibly even accept a cheque if necessary. But I don't know if anyone has cheques these days.
But you won't accept a bag of chickens.
Oh, I don't know. We can negotiate. I'm sure we can negotiate something if necessary.
Well, thank you, Benjamin. It's been, you're a wealth of activity, productivity, music since your time since 1998 in Armidale. And I thank you for all you do. You're a gem within our community. And thanks for coming into Community Spotlight. And I wish you all the best with this 12th festival and many more to come. The important thing is that if you're making the effort and everybody else is making the effort to get out there and put these things on, it's basically behoove on us, out of the community, to actually buy the tickets.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Benjamin, and that's Community Spotlight.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM 92.1 FM in the car and at work for great tunes and community news.